Facet.
Facet.
Sometimes.
Utpulakaha.
With the hairs of his body standing on end. Tushnim.
Completely silent.
Aste. Remains.
Samsparsha nirvitaha.
Feeling great joy by contact with the Lord.
Aspanda.
Steady.
Praniya ananda.
Due to transcendental bliss.
From a relationship of love.
Salila.
Filled with tears.
Amilita.
Half closed.
Ikshanaha.
Whose eyes?
So translation, sometimes feeling the touch of the Lord's lotus hands, he became spiritually jubilant and remained silent, his hair standing on end and tears gliding down from his half-closed eyes because of his love for the Lord. You can repeat.
Sometimes feeling the touch
of the Lord's lotus hands.
He became spiritually jubilant
and remained silent.
His hair standing on end
and tears gliding down
from his half-closed eyes
because of his love for the Lord.
So purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
When a devotee feels separation from the Lord, he becomes eager to see where the Lord is. And sometimes, when he feels pangs of separation, tears flow incessantly from his half-closed eyes. As stated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his Shikshashtaka, Yugayitam nimishena chakshusha pravashayitam. The words chakshusha pravashayitam refer to tears falling incessantly from the devotee's eyes. These symptoms, which appear in pure devotional ecstasy, were visible in the body of Balad Maharaj. So,
kvachit upulakastushnim aste samsparshanirvitaka aspanda pranayananda salila militekshanaha.
So, Om Ganat Vidanda Shah Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmiditam Yena Tasmai Shigurave Namaha.
So, what we're hearing described in this particular verse with Prahlad Maharaj is that someone feels and actually sees the presence of the Lord even though the Lord is not present. I mean, that's how intense the love is of a pure devotee, the Supreme Personality of God. And of course, we see this illustrated in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes in many cases, specifically in the Anchalila, beginning with chapter 14 to the end of the Anchalila. First, before I describe some of these pastimes, I'd like to read Srila Prabhupada's translations and purports to these particular verses that are referred to here, actually, in the verses, about the second-to-last verse of the Shikshashtaka, Jivayitam Nimishena Chakshusha, Pravishayitam Shunyayitam Jagat Sarvam Govinda Virehename. So Prabhupada gives a little bit different translation of this verse here in the Chaitanya Charitamrita than we're accustomed to, especially. You'll hear the point is sunyayatam jagat saram, the whole material world. Oh wait, no, the first part. Yugayatam nimichena chakshusha pravishayatam sunyayatam jagat saram. So yugayatam, generally our translation that we're accustomed to, is that we're feeling separation, or Chaitanya's feeling separation, moments like a
12 years or more. But actually, the direct translation is, it's like a millennium, a yuga, or many yugas. So I'll read Prabhupada's translation here. My dear Govinda, because of separation from you, I consider even a moment a great millennium. Tears flow from my eyes like torrents of rain, and I see the entire world as void. And a few more verses about this. In my agitation, a day never ends, for every moment seems like a millennium. Pouring incessant tears, my eyes are like clouds in the rainy season. So just a little explanation about this. If something is happening that's extremely painful, time expands. We've all experienced that. Of course, the example I always give is when one goes to the dentist, and the dentist is drilling, even practically it just takes a few moments or a few minutes, but it seems like it's basically years. And I'm thinking, is it over yet? Is it over yet? He said, I just started. Because it's so miserable. So we experience like that. When everything so it's intense, misery or anxiety, it just like seems like it goes on forever. And then, of course, when something's very pleasurable, it seems like it ends very, very quickly. Just like you can, in the material world, you can be watching some exciting movie and just get into all the action and everything in it. Even though it's a two-hour movie, wow, it's over already? So that principle applies even in the material world. So the next verse, the three worlds have become void because of separation from Govinda. I feel as if I were burning alive in a slow fire. Lord Krishna has become indifferent to me just to test my love, and my friends say, better to disregard him. While Srimati Radharani was thinking in this way, the characteristics of natural love became manifest because of her pure heart, and the ecstatic symptoms of envy, great eagerness, humility, zeal, and supplication all became manifest at once. And then the next verse becomes manifest where, you know, Krishna, you can crush me by your embrace, you can do anything and everything, you know, you'll remain my worshipful Lord unconditionally. So this, of course, is a description of the highest aspect of prema, which is called Mahabhav. There's different degrees of prema, but Mahabhav is the highest degree, which is only manifest by Srimati Radharani and her associates. So let's describe some of the pastimes that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exhibited in this particular mood of separation. In the chapter 14, it starts with this pastime where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is feeling so much separation from Krishna and Vrindavan that he goes before the Jagannath deities and he sees Krishna there playing the flute. And of course, in the Jagannath deities, you know, the Jagannath deities are actually deities of the mood of separation. And that story was told by Guru Govinda Maharaj, and it's in the Puranas too, that when Krishna heard about his pastimes in Vrindavan, he exhibited this particular bodily transformation. The way he heard about these pastimes in Vrindavan is that once upon a time, now Rohini, who was the mother of Balaram, who also was the wife of Vasudev, and she was in Vrindavan, so she got a chance to witness Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan. And also, she was in Dwarka, too. So one of the rare individuals, of course, Balaram also, who got a chance to witness both those pastimes. Now, one may say, why or how did Rohini witness the pastimes in Vrindavan? Because that wasn't her relationship with Krishna to actually see those particular pastimes. Well, sometimes Krishna manifested all of his pastimes for all the devotees. There's actually two incidences where this occurred. One is when Krishna was lifting Govardhan Hill. When Krishna was lifting Govardhan Hill, there was a slight manifestation of the conjugal ras because Krishna was looking at the gopis, admiring their transcendental bodies. And of course, this is completely spiritual because their bodies are actually manifestations of their love for him. It's like, you know, when we look at someone's body, like you go to, women go watch this muscle magazine or something in the supermarket. Their body is simply a manifestation of just some biomucus and air in the form of muscles. And that's it. And they're thinking lust. You know, they're looking, like, you know, you may look at a piece of food. They're looking, they're salivating, you know, to see this muscular man or a woman is, or a man is salivating, in, you know, in a subtle sense, to see a beautiful woman who is shaped properly. But the gopis' bodies were manifestations of love. I mean, how do you understand that? I don't. But they're manifestations of Krishna's love, or love for Krishna. And they would decorate themselves not out of false pride, like, you know, ladies may decorate themselves now, but just to please Krishna. Anyway, so Krishna looked at their transcendental bodies and basically he began to tremble a little bit. And then also Balaram noticed, and Krishna began to blush because, you know, he's embarrassed being caught in the act, so to speak. So then, but even later on, when there was this story of the Kaliya serpent, all the devotees were able to see Krishna continually, just like they did for Govardhan, when Krishna lifted Govardhan for 7 days, for see Krishna for 7 days. It was pretty good. They were able to see Krishna manifest many of his pastimes, just like it's described in Vrindavan, that Krishna grabbed the gopis. This, of course, is in Goloka Vrindavan, not in Gokul. Krishna grabbed the gopis. Hare Krishna, it's loud enough now. So Krishna grabbed the gopis and put them on with him on top of the Kaliya serpent's hoods, and they all have a big rousa dance in front of everybody. Oh, she's getting stuff, okay. But someone's turning the volume up. So in this way, Rohini was able to observe and actually hear about Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan. And she was describing Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan to Krishna's wives, who were very interested in hearing about these pastimes. And while she was describing these pastimes in Vrindavan to Krishna's wives, she had posted Subhadra to guard the door. And Subhadra, naturally being curious, put her ear to the door. And when she put her ear to the door, she became ecstatic hearing about these pastimes, and her eyes opened wide, and she manifested, her hands get shrunk into her body. And that happened with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He appeared like a tortoise sometimes. A tortoise means the limbs are inside. We'll talk about that pastime in a second. And then Balaram came along, and he was wondering what's happening with Subhadra. He put his ear to the door, and the same thing happened to him, or a similar thing. And then then Krishna came, and the same thing happened to him. So these Jagannath deities are manifestations of... and this is not a symptom of ecstasy, it's a symptom of old age. They're manifestations of Krishna's separation or mood of separation from Vrindavan. Excuse me. Manifestations of Krishna's mood of separation from Vrindavan. And generally, that's how you see the Jagannath deities. You don't usually see the Jagannath deities playing a flute. But Lord Chaitanya, he looked at the Jagannath deities and feeling so much separation from Vrindavan, he saw Krishna playing a flute. And when he saw Krishna playing the flute, he's completely absorbed in that mood of, where are you going to put it so it doesn't destroy the all the phones? If that falls on the phones, let's put this up here somewhere else. Put it on the ground. I usually don't take orders in class. So, when Lord Chaitanya was looking like that, then something happened to destroy his mood of meditation on Krishna in Vrindavan and made him see Jagannath as we usually see Jagannath. And what happened was that a lady had climbed up on his shoulders. This old lady had climbed up on his shoulders. That didn't disturb him, because Lord Chaitanya was in so much ecstasy, feeling separation, that he didn't notice a lady. I mean, that's how much separation a pure devotee, or of course Krishna, the mood of Srimati Radharani, feels in Mahabhava, that he didn't notice. Can you imagine someone climbing on your shoulders and not noticing it? I mean, this morning I woke up and there was a little bug, and I was extremely upset. That shows how much I lack Krishna consciousness. I didn't kill him, you know, I just said, get out of here. So the lady was climbing on his shoulders, and then Lord Chaitanya's servant, because Lord Chaitanya was at the Garuda Stamba, because it was actually prohibited for Lord Chaitanya to come closer to Lord Jagannath. Because had he come closer to Lord Jagannath, he would have fainted as he did when he first entered the Jagannath temple. And he became, everyone thought practically he had left his body. And there was just a little bit of air coming out of his nostrils, and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was able to bring him back to his house and bring Lord Chaitanya back to external consciousness. So this lady had climbed up on Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's shoulders, and she was holding on to the Garuda Stamba. And Govinda, Lord Chaitanya's servant, said, "Get down." And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was so much appreciative of the lady's intense, what we call lalyam, or intense mood, greediness to see Krishna, that he chastised, not the lady, he chastised Govinda. He says, "You uncivilized man, Adivas," he said. "You uncivilized man." Lord Chaitanya said, "I wish I had so much intensity of devotion as this lady had." So that's one incident that's mentioned in the 14th chapter. Later on, you have this amazing incident where the devotees were always concerned about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the evening, because Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would sometimes try to escape from the Gambhira. Actually, the Gambhira, if anyone's seen that, anyone here seen the Gambhira? Yeah. Very small, isn't it? You know, most of us, we complain, oh, we don't have enough facility, we need 3 or 4 bedrooms and 2 or 3 baths, like that, a big mansion. But Lord Chaitanya was in this room. It was a little elongated. It's not exactly the size of that room, but a little elongated, but very small. The walls were practically, you could touch both walls. And you put your hands out like that. And there wasn't like big picture windows, sliding glass doors or anything in there. It was just, there weren't any windows. I was inside another building. So he was in there, and the devotees were very, very concerned, because he would sometimes escape. So they posted Govinda, who was Lord Chaitanya's servant, at the door. And somehow or other, Lord Chaitanya was feeling so much separation that he did escape. And they were looking for Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Actually, the reason he ran out is he heard Krishna's flute. I mean, that's how intense the mood of separation is. That even though Krishna is not, let's say, manifest, or he's aprakat, yeah, means unmanifest lila, you actually hear Krishna's flute. And of course, when a pure devotee hears Krishna's flute, meditates, it's present. Just like when we chant Krishna's name, Krishna is there. The pure devotee is able to see Krishna's pastimes like the spiritual television. So what happened is he heard Krishna's flute and he just ran out. And he ended up at the near the Singhadwara gate, where the cows from Thalanga were there. And his body, as we mentioned before, had shrunk up, and he appeared like a tortoise. And these cows got the nectar of being able to lick Lord Chaitanya's body. You know, that's where the devotees found Lord Chaitanya. And, of course, the devotees began to chant Hare Krishna, and Lord Chaitanya's body resumed its normal form. So sometimes Lord Chaitanya's body, out of symptoms of ecstasy, would shrink up like that, like a tortoise, and sometimes they become elongated, like several cubits long. And that's That, of course, happened in this famous story when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu jumped into the ocean feeling the mood of separation. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was walking along the ocean in Jagannath Puri, and there is a very strong undertow in Jagannath Puri. You probably experienced that, Prasipu. Most of the Indians, they don't go far enough in. They just like, you know, go up to the knees or something like that. They're not. Somehow or other, even in Fiji, where it's right on the ocean, the devotees don't learn how to swim. The native Fijians, they learn how to swim. They take the little babies and chuck them in the water. And they learn how to swim, like from the time they're 4 months old, basically. But the Indians are scared. They have all these different superstitions that they were going to die in the water. We had one of the ladies, she had a dream that her son died in the water, and she won't let him go. Even when I go to the beach with the devotees, he won't let him go in the water. So, anyway, so Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was walking along the shore, and the devotees didn't notice. He jumped into the water, and the undercurrent carried him all the way to the sun god temple, Kornab temple. And the devotees didn't know that. They were looking all over for Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now, what has happened with Lord Chaitanya? And finally, Swarup Dambadar and the other devotees arrived near the sun god's temple. And they were still looking for Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then they saw a fisherman who was apparently crazy. He was chanting Hare Krishna, of course, and he was thinking, ghostly haunted. And then he described, this fisherman described, that actually I was out fishing, just doing my fishing business, and I put a net out, and this, I caught a ghost. He was like a dead body. And I touched it, and I just keep chanting Hare Krishna all the time. And, you know, he was just like so crazy just from touching Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's body. Just like when we're doing deity worship, if we actually realize that we're touching the Supreme Personality of Godhead's body, they would maybe not become crazy. But at least, you know, it's ecstatic. If you think about what you're doing, you're actually touching the Supreme Lord's transcendental body, Sakshat Rajendra Nandana. Pretty amazing, isn't it? I mean, if you think about it, you're being allowed to dress God. I mean, how many people get that benediction? You know, people think, oh, I got to do deity worship today. Got to do this, you know, cook. Got to dress. Got to be responsible. But it's God! I mean, of course, when you get more advanced, he's not God to you anymore. He's your most beloved. So even if you're on the lower platform, you know, Ganesha, he's God. When you get to the Prema Bhakti, then he's my, you know, lover or my child or whatever. So anyway, this fisherman touched God and he was able to chant. He was chanting all the time and he said, I've been haunted, and Swarup Damodar Goswami had a nice method to find out where Lord Chaitanya was. He told the fisherman that I'm actually a great exorcist. Exorcist means one who can get rid of ghosts. Nowadays you call that ghostbuster. So anyway, so he chanted Hare Krishna, and the fisherman was pacified somewhat, thinking that he'd been relieved from the ghost. Of course, it wasn't a ghost. It was actually pure love of God he was experiencing. And then he showed Swarup Damodar Goswami and the other devotees where Lord Chaitanya's body was, and his arms were elongated. I mean, just like, it's incredible. I mean, nobody can manifest that except for, you know, in the stage of Mahabhava with a transcendental body. And so the devotees began to chant to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and then the limbs came back to their normal state. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed to the devotees what he had been seeing. You know, he's seeing Krishna Vrindavan. He said, why did you bring me back? Krishna was on the banks of the Jamuna River enjoying with the gopis, splashing them. You know, why did you bring me back? So this is, you know, these are manifestations of the mood of separation. Another story is that when the devotees really were worried about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I guess they wouldn't let Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu leave his room at night. I mean, even if it was more than Govinda, they just like locked the doors, locked the windows. And so Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, feeling the mood of separation, started to bruise his body. He would just like hit his head and the other parts of his body against the walls. And the devotees would hear this sound, gong, gong, as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was feeling the separation. Finally, oh, this actually happened. I'll tell you why this happened. Essentially, you go back a little bit in this particular pastime. That Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had gotten a letter, well, it was described as a sonnet, from a Dvaitacharya. Dvaitacharya had basically said to Lord Chaitanya, it's time to leave this world. And when Lord Chaitanya was asked, what is this? He described that Dvaitacharya sometimes calls the deity and then, I guess, uninstalls the deity, referring to himself. Because one of the causes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's advent was Dvaitacharya's loud calling and worship of the Ganges, like that. So then Lord Chaitanya would be bruising his body, feeling this intense mood. This is the final stages of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. He would feeling this intense mood of separation, just hitting his body. And the devotees, they became very worried, and they thought the only way we can take care of this is put a devotee there in Lord Chaitanya's room. And that devotee, of course, was named Shankara Pandit. That's after Shankaracharya. So Shankara Pandit was put there, and he became like a pillow for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, massaging Lord Chaitanya's feet, and Lord Chaitanya was resting his feet and other parts of the body on Shankara Pandit. And Shankara Pandit had to stay awake all night long. Of course, he wasn't able to do that all the time. Sometimes he fell asleep, he dozed off. And it shows also how Lord Chaitanya was very concerned for his devotees, because when he both dozed off, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sometimes removed his own wrapper and put it on, you know, just to keep Shankara Pandit warm at night, because this is all concrete. Not concrete, but it was, you know, dirt at that particular. Now it's concrete. So Lord Chaitanya would be sleeping on the floor. Basically, and sometimes Jagannatha Pandit tried to arrange some sort of soft mat. Finally, Swarup Damodar Goswami took some old banana leaves and tore them up, put them inside one of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's old dhotis, and there was a little bit of a cushion, but not much of a cushion. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very concerned with his devotee. So another time, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in the Jagannath Ballabha Gardens, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw Krishna. So these are all moods of separation, where a devotee actually sees Krishna. Even though Krishna is not in his manifest lila, a devotee is feeling so much separation, of course, Mahabhava, that he sees Krishna. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exhibited these symptoms of separation for like 12 years, the final 12 years where he remained in Jagannath Puri. So this is these pastimes. What we're hearing is just a brief summary or a few of the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's feelings of separation. But for 12 years, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exhibited this and shared these different moods only with like 3.5 of his most intimate associates. Like Ramananda Roy, Sikhi Mahiti, Swarup Damodar Goswami, and Sikhi Mahiti's sister, Madhavi Devi. It's interesting. I'm not going to talk about the half business because that may offend some people. So, but the point is that this was something very, very intimate. He wouldn't talk about these things here, like the Gita Govinda in public, or do any of these things in the general mass, or with the general mass of people. It was only with his select devotees who were on that platform to be able to understand these things. So this is also a lesson for us. I mean, of course, Prabhupada does talk about these different pastimes in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. But to delve into the intimate exchanges of Radha and Krishna, even if one is on that platform, you know, Ujjala Nilamani, which you mentioned yesterday, these should be done with great discrimination, only with devotees who are on the same platform of devotional service. And one has to execute discrimination. The Prabhupada said discrimination is a better part of valor when talking about different things. Not only these things, but, you know, political topics. You know, sometimes devotees bring political topics into Bhagavatam class. And just like recently one devotee did, and I'm not criticizing him, but it created a great uproar in different places. I mean, you go on the internet. So Bhagavatam class should generally be for the massive devotees. And of course, at the same time, one should discuss controversial subject matters. It keeps the mind very sharp. But one should discuss controversial or intimate subject matters amongst smaller groups of devotees, not on the internet. So that's a very important point. So any questions or comments about these? I think you've got about 2 more minutes for class. But Lord Chaitanya's Buddha said, what's that?
Is there any mention of the devotee you mentioned that was staying with him?
Shankara Pandit.
Shankara Pandit. Is there any mention anywhere like
In the Gaura Ganadesh Dipika, which I don't have memorized, unfortunately, because I have a Kali Yuga memory, it does mention who he is. And you can look that up in the Gaura Ganadesh. All these associates, I mean, obviously, anybody who is with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had an identity in Braja Leela. What? Yeah, maybe Vrinda or something like that. I forget. It may be even mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, but I don't remember. But he was known as Lord Chaitanya's pillow. Nice story. So any other questions or comments or problems or issues? Anyway, so we can appreciate these emotions. And, of course, it's not that we're all going to come to the Mahabhav stage, but we should hanker for these different bhavas. Not of the extent of what Chaitanya is exhibiting, but Narottama Das Thakur teaches us, especially in this nice song, Guranga Balite Habe, Pulaka Shavir, and also Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his famous song, Kabi Habi Bolo, Sejdi Namar. There is this mood of intense hankering for the stage of bhava, you know, for experiencing bhava. And I described yesterday, Rasa Samangri, that the bhavas are actually in the ingredients of ras. So we're actually supposed to experience these bhavas, yes.
According to the Slovenian history,
yeah.
Vajra.
Vajra, that's nice. Very, very nice. His past manifestation, he's Vajra. And also, he's still Vajra, because as we were hearing previously in the Srimad Bhagavatam, that these devotees exist in many different places at one time. So, in the spiritual world, these devotees are there, and they're also manifesting their presence.
And of course, Guru Lila is a spiritual world.
It is a spiritual world. But I mean, in the Prakrita Leela and the Aprakrita Leela, the unmanifest Leela. I mean, like the Loka Vrindavan and Gokul, these personalities are in both places. It's interesting. Okay, all glorious to Srila Prabhupada.